You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
This man gave his life for the gospel, and what he's saying to you, you need to listen to, we need to listen to. He says we got a lot of people in the church at Rome that like to point at other people when they mess up. Without thinking about their own proclivities. In other words, you did what? Bump you. You messed up, bump. Or you hurt my feelings, bump you, right? But God says, how can you do that when you do the same thing? If you don't like nobody to walk past you and not speak, why would you do it?
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Restored. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 15.
But today I want to drop down to Romans chapter 2 as we do part 2 of the message, Restored. That's Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 in the NIV. It is on the screen. The word of the Lord reads like this: You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemned yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same goddamn thing. Look at verse 2. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. When God judges, it's based on truth. Look at verse 3. So when you, a mere human or mortal being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? The ones that are saved, that are in the house of the Lord, that look at the people in the world and talk about what they do, but secretly you do the same thing. Paul is preaching to a church, not to the world. I'll say again, verse 3. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Look at verse 4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? He's been good to you. He's been kind to you. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness by continuing to do what you blame others for doing? Look at the word forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness, the riches, the blessings of the Lord is intended to lead you to what? Repentance. In other words, when God blesses us with anything, when he's kind to us in any way, and we have things that we haven't repented of, he blesses us hoping that it would lead us to a point where we would say, I'm sorry, Lord. If you ever wonder why God blesses people who are in sin or blesses people who are dealing with issues in their lives, he's saying my blessing should lead you toward repentance. I want you to get this theological concept, because it's going to help us as we move toward praying a prayer of repentance. That God wants to bless us, but he will even bless you while you're missing up or messing up, because he wants his kindness to lead you to a heart that is penitent. This is not something you're going to hear preached everywhere, because we want to say when God blesses us, it's because we're all good. But from his perspective, he blesses or he's kind because he's hoping you will repent. Let me say it this way. He's hoping that we would repent. This also ties into 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When I shut up the heavens, when I send pestilence, when I cause rain to stop and let the locusts eat up your crops, if my people will call by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We see that in the negative, right? Because there's trial going on. But Paul ties it in Romans 4 to say, even if he bless you, he allows the rain to fall even though we haven't repented. And he allows the money to flow even though we haven't repented. And he allows health to grow in your life even though you know stuff is in your life. He's doing it to lead you to repentance. So he covers us. If you see trial, if you see setback, if you see lack, if my people will call by my name and humble themselves, I will heal and forgive. I will cleanse. But even if you don't, and I send kindness, I want you to come back to me. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to teach. We're dealing with a series called Cultivating Heart Light, and I'm preaching on prayer. This is the third message, the actual fourth in this particular series dealing with repentance. Last week, I dealt with the open the way, which means repentance opens the way. It removes obstacles. And this morning, I dealt with two messages on that. And this morning, I dealt with a message called Restored, Part 1. I'm coming back at 11 with Restored, Part 2. I believe that God's blessings follow genuine repentance. And God wants to bless us, first of all, with a relationship that is repaired and restored with him. And then he wants that relationship to touch laterally or horizontally, touch the people that are next to us that we may have a situation with. Father, I give you praise and glory for the word restored. And I give you praise for cultivating heart light. And thank you for an understanding in the midst of us. And thank you for our people gravitating to your word. And thank you that the sound man has made my microphone sound good, and I give you praise that I feel good. And Father, I thank you that if I look good, feel good, be good, is good in you, then we'll be able to teach real good. And so, Father, give us ears to hear and a mind to comprehend. Send your word. Give us a heart that is receptive and ready to receive, a spirit that can contain your word, and we will give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a praise for his goodness today? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Our confession of faith, real quick. Come on. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. Say it again. My mind is renewed. My heart is receptive and ready to receive. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of God. My mind is renewed through the engrafted word of God. My heart is receptive. I worship God. I prepared it. I prepared it during worship. And I'm ready to receive. I'm empty enough that I can receive the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm ready to receive the word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I bless the name of Jesus. A little theology here out of Romans chapter 2 to just show you the contrast and how God deals with the New Testament church. When God speaks to Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he's very definite as it relates to if I shut up the heavens, if I send the locusts, you see judgment. When we do wrong, we see judgment. It's really prevalent without the new covenant. And if I send locusts to eat up your crops, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. The devil didn't send the locusts. God says, I did. The devil didn't send darkness. He said, I did. The devil didn't shut the heavens so it won't rain. God says, I sent the famine because I'm judging my people. When Jesus died on the cross, we shifted from a dispensation of law into what we call the dispensation of grace. This is theological teaching here. We're not bound by law, neither the judgments that come by law. These things were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope might find patience and faith, might find expectancy. So now we go into the New Testament as Paul is a matured apostle now, sending a letter to the church at Rome. Actually, he lost his life in Rome. He was beheaded in Rome. And many historians say God loved Paul so much that when his head was cut off, it bounced 3 times. And each place where it bounced, water came out of the ground. This man gave his life for the gospel. And what he's saying to you, you need to listen to, we need to listen to. He says we got a lot of people in the church at Rome that like to point at other people when they mess up. Without thinking about their own proclivities. In other words, you did what? Bump you. You messed up, bump. Or you hurt my feelings, bump you, right? But God says, how can you do that when you do the same thing? If you don't like nobody to walk past you and not speak, why would you do it? Listen. So not only are we going to repent, right? Because this is the Lord's prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'm coming back. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and amen. Forever and ever, amen. We worship at the end. Forgive us of our trespasses, repentance to God, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you see now, this is one verse. When we ask God to forgive us, we're supposed to also forgive those who hurt us. Right. Sometimes it's a struggle, but this is where we're going. And whatever God asks us to do, he will give grace if you're open to it. So we got to get to the point where God says, I want a horizontal repentance, and then I want a vertical repentance, and then I want a horizontal repentance or confession so we can all come together. And at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, the cross of repentance to God and confession of sins one with another for the point of or the purpose of forgiveness. We want to make sure we're doing that so the cross will be prevalent in our lives and in our church, or the purpose of the cross. Don't tell me it was at the cross where you first saw the light, but you can't handle Sister So-and-so there. Don't tell me it was the cross where you first saw the light, but heart light is blind as it relates to fellowship and confessing sins one to another. If you want to grow, you got to grow holistically. You got to embrace the whole counsel of God. Look at the whole cross, a vertical plank and a horizontal plank. And the Bible says, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He says, if I, as Moses, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I, if I be lifted up. He's talking about his death. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And he's saying, as Moses put a serpent of brass, which you look at medicine today, you'll see the symbol of a serpent around a pole. Oh, God from Zion. Even today, they follow it. That medicine, they take venom from a serpent and they create an antidote. Good God from Zion. This is powerful. This is what God do. The curse, hallelujah, because Jesus became the curse. He becomes the antidote for any disease, the antidote for any situation, the antidote for the stuff that we struggle with. And if I be lifted up, oh my God, I'll draw men unto me. We like to say, if I be lifted up with praise, but really, if I be lifted up and you look to the cross, he says, I'll draw men unto me. So we got to lift Jesus higher and get people to understand redemption and forgiveness. It all comes through repentance. I really like the word of God, and it's good to have a good understanding. Verse 3 says, when you, a mere human or humanoid, being a human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Anytime we see somebody sin, we ought to be mindful that we got to clean up our act too. How many of you know we got the privilege of privacy? Y'all don't want to say that? I said, how many of you know we all have the privilege of privacy? If you didn't do it today, you did it yesterday. Or 10 years ago. Or 30 years ago. Stuff have happened in your life that nobody knows about. So why in the world would you be the first one? Why are you even acting like that? Any young lady that comes to our church and wearing a short dress, all right, you gonna curse her? When you would have, yeah. Your dress was so short, listen. Let the girl come into church. Men, get your eyes right. Get your eyes, lift up your eyes. Take a glance and then move on. Don't stare. If you dropped it like it's hot, why would you be upset when you see someone that does it? What you want to do is help them. Right, you want to help them and instruct them. Actually, if they really get saved, Holy Ghost will start talking to them. You can't wear that. You can't do that no more. Why are you up in the club? Now get your head ready. But most people don't know redemption. That's why they can do whatever they want to do and don't feel nothing. So you got to let Holy Ghost work with people. But God says, if I bless you, my forbearance, my kindness comes to you. Paul says, he sends kindness that it would lead us. It is intended to lead us to repentance. I believe this verse outlines something that is powerful, a concept that I believe God wants us to embrace when we move toward repentance and the restoration that comes as a result of it. The meaning of repentance is powerful. If you're taking notes, which I believe our church should be a note-taking church. I know people are getting beyond that. They get really lethargic when it comes to taking notes, really laid back in church. You're listening to me, but you're not designed to remember everything that you hear. You have to write it down, and God will bring it back to remembrance. You got to get an Evernote on your smartphone and start taking notes and really focus what I'm teaching, lest it slips. Repentance in its original form. In the Greek, it literally means, write it down, a change of mind. A change of mind is not just I'm sorry. It is a change of mind. God wants to go deeper than I'm sorry to a change of mind. You think different about what you did. It's also a change of heart. I'm preaching cultivating heart light. cultivating an atmosphere in your heart that breeds life. Cultivating a luminosity within your mind and your heart. Allowing your heart to take in spiritual oxygen. If we fail to give our heart oxygen now through our blood, it automatically dies. Someone came to me between services and said, I don't know if I had a stroke last night. I said, I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to go to the emergency room. Why am I doing that? Because I believe that I need to give wise counsel. I believe God can heal you. But I believe it's wise for you to go. Prove that God healed you by the doctor said ain't nothing wrong with you. And if your faith wasn't up or mine wasn't up to create healing, an atmosphere of healing, at least they can save you. So you can come back to church next week. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. When was the last time your heart breathed? When was the last time your heart received spiritual oxygen? Because prayer is the oxygen of our hearts. So if you don't pray, I'm telling you, your heart isn't breathing properly. It was never created to work congruently or work systematically with other systems or work fluently inside of you without its creator. Just like your car was designed and the engine designed to take fuel to help it to run, your heart was designed to have oxygen in it to pump. And prayer is the oxygen of your heart. Well, I don't need to pray. You don't even know how deadly that sounds. I don't need God. What do you mean you don't need God? You need thee every hour. Because if you ever start choking, you're going to call somebody. I remember being a church service. Lady came out the kitchen and she was grabbing her throat. And the preacher started rebuking the devil. Chata. Rata. I rebuke thee. My pastor said, didn't you learn the Heimlich maneuver? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do it. I came behind her, did the Heimlich maneuver, and a chunk of meat came out of her mouth. She got choked. She was eating while she was cooking. She got choked, and it came out of her mouth and hit the floor. The preacher looked at the meat and still said, I rebuke the devil. It wasn't the devil. It was a piece of meat. But she breathed in deeply because she was really choking. And if that choke kept going on, she would have lost consciousness. I believe the Lord is leading me to teach on heart light because the heart needs light and oxygen. And repentance is the gateway to it, to restoration or for you to inhale again. Let's stop pointing at the world and let's start looking inside. When was the last time your heart breathed? When was the last time a light went on the inside of a chamber in your heart and you shined it and you saw creatures running? Because when there's no light, stuff breathes. One of the things that breathes is mold. One of the best things you can do in your house is open up the windows. One of the best things you can do ever to inspire youth is to give them exposure to something new. People that don't like to travel or don't want the kids to ride in the car with them or don't want them to ever see anything because you're so religious. We can't be like the world. You got to make sure you don't have anything that the world's got. You got to make sure you back up. Don't go to the movies. Don't put on any short pants. Don't hang out with anybody. Rules and regulations. But what you're doing when you isolate people like that, mold begins to breed because you can't get righteousness by not doing. You got to be able to see it and still resist it, and God wants you to grow in obedience. So you can't isolate yourself and say you're going to be all right, because there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that goes after God, no, not one. There's no one that's seeking God. Even if you don't do anything, you still got sin in your heart. Because if you think it, you've done it according to the word of God. You got to get a redemption in your soul. You got to get an agent in your soul. You got to get oxygen in your soul. Your religion will never save you. Only Jesus saves. To the uttermost, Jesus saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. He will pick you up and turn you around. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. Our religion don't save. Our tradition don't save. Nothing that we've done in the past can't save. A person saves us. Who was hanging on the tree. Hallelujah. And when he was lifted up, he said, God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because he forgave, we have a right to the tree of life. All I need you to do, people of God, this is what God is saying, is come to me with a broken heart. You never desired sacrifice anyway. You never desired goats and calves and bullocks and pigeons and things of that nature. All you want is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You will not despise. And if you come to me that way, I will forgive you of your sins, free you of your transgressions, and wipe your sins away. But when I let you go, you got to let sister so-and-so go. When I let you go, you got to let brother so-and-so go. And God will let you go. I'm preaching better than they saying amen. So preach, Merton. Preach the word. Merton. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. When they don't want to say amen, you preach it anyway. When they get mad, you preach it anyway. When you say what God is telling you, say, Merton, God's going to get the glory. Preach myself happy. Preach myself happy.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Restored, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Florida's 2026 back-to-school sales tax holiday is officially set for July 20th through August 20th. For an entire month, you can shop smart and save big with tax-free deals on clothing, shoes, personal computers, and select accessories. As you gear up for the new school year, consider picking up a few extra tax-free supplies for our upcoming back-to-school drive at TR Main on Saturday, August 1st at 10 a.m. Drop your donations in the bins in the Fellowship Hall anytime this month to help ensure every child in our community starts the year blessed and prepared. Men, get ready to elevate your faith journey starting Sunday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. We are diving into No More Excuses by Tony Evans. This, grab your copy of the book and secure your spot today, online or in the TR app.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
A statue of Billy Graham now stands in the U.S. Capitol building. Franklin Graham spoke at the unveiling.
Our family is honored that our earthly father will be here in this capital, pointing future generations to our heavenly father and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Billy Graham always strived to turn the focus away from himself and back to Jesus Christ. Here he is when he received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
This marker is left behind for the glory of God. And I hope that somebody will come by and say, what does Billy Graham stand for? And they will tell them that Billy Graham was a simple preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
you can learn how to share your faith. Just go to billygraham.org and then click on Grow Your Faith at the top of the page. That's at billygraham.org, and it's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.